Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome everybody to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I am your host, Katie Barnett, and yes, I am here on a Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, because I was not going to leave you stranded after not being able to get here yesterday on our regular time. So we have a very important three-part series that we're going to be starting tonight, and it's very important. I also got some special surprises for you guys, and I want to get started with that. So today we have some very important people that I want to say some shout-outs to, and we're starting some new things here on All the Edge, so I want to bring you in on that. Now, when we came back after my long hiatus, we began by saying thank you to some special listeners, those that have been sticking around no matter how long I've been gone. So since right now we're on a light schedule with 3 out of my 5 days a week, I am going to be saying thank you to a special listener, which I will be calling a listener of the night, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday that I'm on. So tonight's special listener is Mr. Terry Banks. He has been a very intricate part of my support system. And Terry, if you're listening, I want to thank you very much and let you know that that does not go unnoticed or uncherished or unappreciated. And everything that you do for me, with me, away from me, and in your own community is very critical and what this show is about. So thank you very much for sticking with me on this ride, no matter how long I've been away or not. To Kim Milton and to Joe and to Zeddy and to Om Muhammad, those of you that have been regularly sitting here at my table, you're not going unnoticed too, but today's Terry's night. As well as I want to thank Taj Montana, that's our sponsor again for tonight. She is extremely talented hairdresser, makeup artist, and she does a lot of other little things too creatively for you. But when I tell you that this girl slays, ladies, she slays. She slays the edges. She slays the hairdo. She brills you up. She's the best there is in Brooklyn, New York. She's also on Facebook. Her business name is Nefertita Beauty Bar. Look her up and see what she can do for you, because she certainly made me look like Cinderella before the midnight ball. So let's move on to our next item. We are going to be speaking. Oh, one more thing. Sorry, got to shout out the little people to Josh and Tracy out there in Inwood Dodge. I want to thank you very much for your hospitality and for your going above and beyond in service. And also, can't forget Tracy and Ed Simpson and my bestie out there doing his thing, Nathaniel Johnson, gracing everybody with his amazing DJing as well as his event planning. Now, guys, go to Facebook, and I'm sure he has other platforms, to 4Play Entertainment, Inc., I think that is. It's on Facebook, the number 4, Wordplay Entertainment. Check it out on Facebook, and then he can direct you to wherever else he's at. But he also is amazing, and you know I don't say those things lightly. So I have a very, 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 this is special for me, because I'm very much into empowering the youth and doing things that society really doesn't want kids to be seen. They want them to be seen, not heard, and not even so much seen anymore. But lately, between COVID and this changing dynamics in society as it is, children are being more and more pushed to the side while they're being more and more displayed on the front page. Now, one of the things that we spoke about in this last week was the rising disturbing numbers of juvenile mental health concerns and all the other things that's going on where it's not being properly treated, or in our quest to make mental health and concerns fully aware of them, we're actually failing these kids in some other way. So a group of children, two of them in particular being super special because they belong to me, got together, and all of the personal experiences that they have been feeling in the mess, in the COVID crisis, in the quarantine, in the shutdown, they got together and put their feelings on paper through beats in music. And they had another spectacular young lady who also happens to be a child of mine, but she does her own thing in open mic lyrics and things to that effect from experiences they went through. And they wrote a song called Colorless, which is from their point of view, their experiences with depression, be it that they saw it from their friends or they're going through it, and how society doesn't pay them much attention. So that's going to be the song that I actually lead us out with tonight before our commercials from our sponsors and head back here. And I'm proud to introduce tonight on the panel of music a group made of three kids and one adult kid called Untitled. And they explained that they call themselves Untitled, which, by the way, it's all their music is now streaming on multiple streaming platforms. There's so many that they listed here to name, but mainly Amazon Music, YouTube Music. Let me see if you guys all know these names. YouTube Music, Amazon Music, I think something called Angami. Quite a few of them, which I'll try to post up on the page later so you guys can take a look. But the group's name is Untitled, and the E in Untitled is actually a number 3 or a backward E. And if you listen to Alexa call for it, they call it Untitled 3D. So that's what, okay, thank you guys. Apple Music and iTunes are also carrying it. Instagram Music, Facebook Music, Boomplay, MediaNet, and KKBox, a few others I haven't heard, and Spotify and Snapshot and Pandora. Very proud of these guys. Now, you guys know I'm not into this modern day kiddie music. The trap stuff gets to me, but when I heard this song, the beat is awesome. The words really hit me. And I hope you guys will understand that these guys are trying to do something to spread awareness in their own age group and from their own point of view. And they are looking for the proceeds to these $1 downloads, because that's what it is. All these platforms I just mentioned are carrying their music for 99 cents a download. So if you guys can show your appreciation and support to these young people to help them get out there and do some of the jobs that they probably can do better at than us, because they can talk to these kids on their own level and their own age group, it would be greatly appreciated, because that's what On the Edge is about. And to see that my kids are joining with other kids in the neighborhood that they play with, and that they're taking leading by example and choosing to deal with any depression or sadness or bullying situation that they deal with creatively through music, it makes me proud. And I'm praying that all of you hanging along with me in this mission feels the same way. Tonight, though, let's get to what we're speaking about this evening. Part one, a three-part relationship series about keeping our relationships on balance. Now, we're going to be speaking on all types of relationships in our lives. Tonight, we're going to be speaking on the intimate relationships. Tonight, we're going to be speaking about maintaining a healthy balance in relationships, and are we really in a balanced relationship? Is the work that you're doing to keep your relationship on point being respected because your partner or the person that you're doing it for is in there saying, hey, you know, without you, I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be on my top of my game. You're my other half. Or are they saying that I expect you to do this because you've been keeping me up by doing what you do and really not being on the hook for their own part in making it work. That's why I'm calling this tonight, Keeping Relationships on Balance Part 1. Is it respect or is it expect? And that's where we're at. So now, let me go out with Untitled, Colorless, featuring Mimi Baby. That's the featured artist in here. It is our go-out song. When we come after that, we're going to go to our sponsors, and then we will be getting this discussion party started. Thank you guys for the lengthy patience with me, and please listen in to Colorless. Don't go away, guys. Be back in 3 minutes.
Thoughts destroyed my health. I'm locked in the dark and I can't get out. I'm afraid of these demons that feed in my doubts. But I messed up, can't stand up. Waiting is the key, so I'm told I don't wanna die. Live alone, I have hurt when I'm old. Can I wait? No. And right now I'm questioning if I can go on. My brain will blister, he's just a boy. But them dark thoughts took away his joy. Well, the devil sits and plays him like a toy. While the boy is gone, consider no no better. The devil sits and writes his letter to another kid who was also lost. He manages to get his favorite sweater as he puts him in your place. Or at least what he told you, made you believe you were best friends to the very end, but you're not. Ooh, yeah. I need help for myself. Can anyone help me? I'm in a dark place, dark time. Can anyone save me? All these demons in my head, I feel like I can't fight.
Haunted in the shadows, in my mind, it's a battle.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. KL Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, The New Yorker, to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
And we're back, everybody. That was Untitled with Colorless featuring Mimi Baby. 3 out of the 4 of them are my children. I am very proud of them. From an outsider's fan perspective as well as their mom. As I said again, their music is streaming on multiple platforms, and the most of them, they're busy trying to give me a whole bunch of listings, but there's no way. But mainly right now, I can tell you Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora. I think I said Spotify, but if I didn't, Spotify. Okay, so guys, yeah, I know you're listening. Mom's proud of you. The community's proud of you. Stand up for your age group and kick back at society and let them know that you are here and stand up for yourselves to bullies and everything like that. And that's what this music was about. These are all kids that have suffered some loss or some sort of experience, and they're out there putting their anger and their feelings into music rather than taking out on the world or killing themselves off. So that's where that is. And so any of those platforms that you go to and buy, $1 is all that it is for these downloads. Please tell your friends, and I'm going to help. When we get our new website up, guys, you're going to be able to link up and subscribe and do anything that you have to do. But this is going to a good cause, because they're going to be using it to expand their studio and help get their music out to other people. So I thank you all for listening in and for indulging me on this point. I do see we already have calls trying to come in for tonight. So let me get to the commentary and let's get moving. Now, guys, tonight we're speaking on keeping relationships on balance. Now, this is part one of the three-part series. Tonight we're going to be talking about, what is it, respect or is it expect? Now, once again, shouting out our listener of the night to Mr. Terry Banks for his everything that he does. Thank you very much. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say, Terry, somewhere down the line when we open up the lines. So keeping life balance is one hard feat. It certainly is, especially now with the loss of so many of the vital society beacons that we had in our lives to keep us in check, support networks that weren't our parents necessarily, but were other people who gave a damn about whether or not we grew up balanced. If we were in a relationship, we had counselors to go to or our pastors to go sit down, and some of them came to your house at some point. There was always somebody or something that we can go to try to keep our feelings in check and get some advice from a fresh set of eyes and ears. That way we can go back to the ones that we love and work at something different. Nowadays, we don't have that type of open support and real solid support. So it's a little harder to try to keep relationships balanced. Now, every single type of relationship that we form in our lives, whether it's no matter what its nature is, whether it's, you know, they're related to you or it's that special someone, but every relationship, it must be handled with a mixture of respect, teamwork, and perspective in order to maintain a healthy balance to it. Now, with that being said, more often than not, the scales are tipped unfairly on one partner or member of the relationship. And that's where the relationship itself either becomes just unbalanced on its own, which can be fixed depending, or it can become toxic where one, you know, if there's not enough people involved in trying to make the problem go away, you're not going to have a sound union. So there we go on that situation. Now, after that, you got to worry about it having existential and exponential problems. The actual relationship starts with, first, you can't communicate. Or you're starting to feel resentful because you're feeling like either one person isn't doing anything or another person is doing too much. Or they're not in gel or supportive of me, but they demand that I'm doing everything for them. That becomes another issue. Tonight, we want to explore all types of scenarios in the intimate relationship, the husband and wife, the boyfriend and girlfriend, the girlfriend and girlfriend, the boyfriend and boyfriend, whatever the relationship is. It's the romantic relationship that we're going to be touching on tonight. Because so many of our young people are trying to get into relationships. So many of our older young people are in relationships with all of the adult dressing and none of the adult understanding. And then there's some adults who are either about to date and think they found the one, or in a long-term relationship that only is long-term because they don't know how to get out, or they don't want to be without someone. So that is where why this has to come to light, and we have to discuss it. So let's begin. You're in a relationship, and everybody knows if you're coming together, two people coming together, automatically there's a standing percentage that each person is responsible for in maintaining the team aspect of the relationship. So each individual has a minimum of 50% each that they have to come in to make work. Now, that doesn't change no matter what other customizable circumstances that we have to work with as we get into the relationship. The 50% is a standing base. Okay? But now, as you start to get serious, we all know things change. So if you're going to live together or get married, you have to start talking about other things. So now we have to start to figure out if we're going to live together, that means we have expenses together. Now you customize it or adjust the percentage of financial contribution. Who works, who has the most to offer in the financial area? Are we equally yoked in that respect? So naturally, if one person is making more money, they have to assume more of the bills. If one person is not working but the other one is, naturally that person should be responsible in a natural flow of things of keeping the house up. That's your contribution, okay? But now let's talk about what happens when it goes beyond that. Now, dad or mom is bringing home the bacon, or hubby or wife is bringing home the bacon, but there's still other things that they have to do once the work is over. There's still house responsibilities or responsibilities to, you know, after you punch out. Okay? Now, if that person is a person that takes out the trash, and normally that's what happens, but this time around, you know, there was an extremely crazy work day that caused that person who's already working 12 hours a day to be not really up to taking another trip outside because now their boots are burning the bottom of their feet and their back is really hurting. So a person that loves you is going to say, babe, don't worry, I got it. I'm going to do it today. You know, you go rest and I'll come back. I'll help you out. Now let's see. What happens when this particular thing takes place? You know, like the other person goes out of their limit or whatever into the next person's part. Or you have a person that is a hard sleeper and won't wake up ever, no matter how many noises is around them, to get up for work on time. And you're a person that worked in the house all day or worked your own job and came in. You're just as tired and you have to deal with listening to their alarm go off all day and they're not answering it. And sometimes I have one of these, so I'm speaking out of personal experience on this. I have a child that goes to work, knows that they can't get up at the time they're supposed to get up to have enough time to get dressed and walk out the door and be on time for work. So they set this clock unreasonably too early, thinking that they can snooze it extra times And by the time they finished snoozing at the extra times for the ridiculously too early hour they gave themselves, they'll be able to get up on time and be normal at the time they would have been able to wake up or should have been able to wake up. But that's not the way it works. What happens is the rest of the house hears this alarm when they should be sleeping, and they lose the sleep they need for school or whatever. And everybody now realizes that this is going to be a normal thing. So that person has to now pick up another way to go about fixing that problem. But what happened is all of us chipped in and be like, okay, if we're up at this time, we know this is the absolute latest that he can stay asleep, we'll wake him up. But at the same token, what if I'm not working late that day and I fell asleep because I got too tired from working late all the other days? But if we're doing this for that person is supposed to take the help and try to correct the problem for themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. No matter how good we are at correcting certain things, there's some things that some people and most of us have that one thing that we can't get right no matter what you do. And you need that person in your life to go, you lost your keys again. Oh, okay, you locked yourself out. I'll give you an example. Those of you that know Judge Lynn Toler, she's a divorce court lawyer. She says, I go out. I can speak to 55,000 people in a hall. I can speak to the highest of executives. I can speak to royalty. Then I come home and I can't remember where my damn keys are. And her husband is aware of that, loves her anyway, always knows that he's got to be there to wake her up or to open the door when she gets home. But the difference is she values that he has her back that way. She doesn't expect him to do it for her and then blame her when, once again, something that is your problem got you now in a bigger issue. And because the person who loves you kind of has your back and is looking out for you, didn't do it that day, now they're the reason why your day went bad. So this is where it becomes to, does this woman respect that her husband knows that she's going to lose her keys no matter how many times he clipped it on her earring or put a Velcro strap on her back or clipped it to her bra strap or whatever it is? She'll still lose her keys and still not remember where she put them. Does she respect what her husband is doing for her? Or does the day come where, once again, she lost her keys or can't remember where she put it, didn't try to do anything new about helping herself remember where she put it, and now she was late for a very important conference, and she turns to the person that's been having her back and say, why didn't you tell me where my keys were? Now I'm late. Do you realize that? I'm late. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called expect. This is the expectation that this person with the problem has because the person who loves them is trying to go a little bit more than their responsibility to make sure the house on a whole runs smoothly. But here's the problem. Now you're enabling that behavior because this is where it should be. You should say, hey, I got you, babe. I got your keys, but you're really going to have to figure out something to do about keeping your keys shake. What can you remember when you go outside? Okay, so you can remember that you always put your shoes down by the black railing over there. So guess what? Put a cup right there next to the shoes where your keys are. Or better yet, put your keys in your shoes. But if you're doing it as the other person, but you don't tell the other person, look, I love you and I'll do this, but guess what? You're kind of taking away from what I have to do as well. Because now I have to stop what I'm doing to help you look for your keys. And that's not fair. And then you want to yell at me too for something that is your issue. The person who's helping them has to help them without enabling them because then it becomes unbalanced. And this is a relationship, and I'm actually going to open up the lines very early tonight. So this is the issue that happens. Respecting means, hey, oh my God, thank you. I don't know what I would do without you. You know, you've been doing this for me, and I'm trying, but I'm still not there yet. Versus, oh my God, you always look for my keys for me. What happened today? Now I'm late. So my question to you guys is it respect or is it expect? That is where we're at. And where, give me some examples when you call in on what it is and what should we do about it. So, first caller on the line, let me get you in. Hold on. Okay. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, this is Tylon from the GoPro Radio Revolutionary Party. How are you today?
Hi. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you? Last long time no hear. What's going on, Pop?
Well, you know, first I got to thank you for inviting me, number one. Your show, your programs are always compelling, interesting, and absolutely relevant. The next thing I want to say, that music was just sensational. I love the instrumentation, the production value.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to see it out, and please, if you can send me a link, I'd like to get it out and also invite them on to the very next GoPro Radio Revolutionary Party that we have as my very special spotlighted guest on the program. They are really saying something. And that's what music is missing, these important messages, and at the same time, very powerful and entertaining. So you have that entertainment value, I thought, and especially with the frequency that you get with blog talk, you get mostly high, that music, the beat, what they were saying is excellent. I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Out of all the music they've been playing, that was my favorite. And for those of you that was following, they lost their dad last year very suddenly, and they already had a complicated relationship with him. And one of them that wrote the lyrics, one of the twins, he just started grieving, and it started showing his music. And then he was the victim of bullying at some point. So, yeah, it meant a lot. But when I heard it, I was like, what? What?
I'm absolutely blown away by it. I think it's socially relevant. It's probably, you got a hit on your hands. And just don't tell them, just don't forget about us little guys when they...
Yeah, I know, definitely. I try to keep them grounded.
Keep them rooted, yes.
They're really going to be happy to hear that because it's hitting what they call the OGs, Mom. Make sure your OGs hear it. So, you know, I'm going to let them know that the OGs were impressed on the young
very,
level.
Very I love music that has real value, intrinsic value, entertainment value. Like that song has full spectrum value. People who just like the music and rhythm, and then at the same time you're getting that mind nourishment that's so often missed in this music that you hear today. And then it's socially relevant. You know, our people are suffering and oppressed and dying. The suicide rates are high. And so when people can hear music that speaks to them, you'd be surprised how music can actually save a person's life. And I think that music is a lifeline to a lot of folks. So I wish them all the best in the world. But now to the subject matter you said, you know, you said something so powerful at the beginning, and that is, the quality of your communication has a lot to do with the quality of your relationship. And people communicate and communicate often. And I feel like, well, you know, we talked about that a month ago. You know, sometimes you need to update folks and have conversations, you know, weekly or if not daily about, you know, different challenges that people might have. You mentioned the one about a woman who's or a man who could be very forgetful. And that might just be something that you might guys want to, you know, seek help with just in general, because that could be dangerous. Somebody who's forgetful, it can leave your house open to intruders because of a key being lost or, you know, whatever the case.
Absolutely.
But above and beyond that, I think the expectation for both people is to really communicate, have an open and honest and also create an environment where honesty can exist. If you have one person that's always feeling attacked, and, you know, it gets in the way of someone perhaps being open and honest, that's an impediment to real, genuine, and authentic growth in the context of a relationship. So we always say we want honesty, but make sure we create and maintain an atmosphere where honesty can not only exist but flourish. Meaning you can't be thin-skinned when somebody tells you, well, hey, you know, I think you're forgetting often, and maybe we should look into that. If you go into this kind of shell, oh, no, I don't, I'm all right, and this kind of thing, that could be really, really negative, and that would probably perhaps keep a person from actually having honest communication with you because they notice that you always respond with, you know, loudness or, you know, or on the other hand, you know, some people weaponize you know, crying and being emotional, over emotional, and so much. No one who loves a person wants to see them sad. So that, I've also seen that as a dynamic in a relationship. So the atmosphere for honesty to exist has to be rooted in the foundation of truth and honesty, and both people being able to be honest with each other. Then, other than that, it's like the king and queen has no clothes. If no one's actually being authentic and truthful about what's going on.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Thank you. Absolutely. And 2 minutes, because there's a caller behind you. And all of you listening in, if you're calling in, I want you to listen to what all the guests are saying and respond as it is, because this is very important. The key to our community is the key to our relationship, is a solid relationship, no matter which type you're forming. And I also want to send back the shouts to you as well, Tylon. Tylon is CEO, founder, host, coordinator, producer of a wonderful online show as well called GoPro Revolutionary Party. Am I right?
Yes, we have one this Friday that hopefully you'll be able to attend. It's early. All that are invited, all your listeners, because I know they're powerful and intelligent people, are invited to this. We have Lakota Summer, Dr. Ron Christopher Osborne Williams, who is a psychologist or therapist for families. And we have Jeff Hodges, and this may be interesting for your children. He's the hip-hop, you know, social commentator, and he owns and operates It's Bigger Than Hip-Hop out in California, I believe. And also, we have a game master. Her name is Lulu Smith. And the Paradise Brothers from the UK will be there. And we have a recording artist called Live. And she's a serious Texas-born experimental R&B artist. She'll be there in the house. So it's going to be music. It's going to be games. It's going to be great conversation. And all are invited. And that happens this Friday and every third Friday of the month. And that's Friday, November 19th from 7 to 9 p.m. Via the GoPro Radio website. You can link up with me on Facebook. And I'll send you the information so you can share it out with your incredible community.
Okay, and I want to address one thing that you said as well when you spoke about people weaponizing crying. See, a lot of people, when they're thinking like toxic and things like that, it's not necessarily always domestic violence and violence in particular. Things like that, it's like the psychological mind games is another issue. One of the things I was reading, and this, and I'm going to have all of you guys, you know, check it out on your own time. I believe that I have to get the name of the actual publication, but this Carol Stieber is the writer who wrote about 15 signs that you know you are in an unbalanced relationship. One of the things that she said was when the person blames you for all of the problems that's going on in the house, even if they and they're doing anything. But one that really got me was she said a good sign is when the person in the relationship finds it easier to go to a stranger for help than their other half. That is really big. And I'm going to get the other caller to come in, and then I would like to circulate what we're talking about around the bend for the next half hour, you know, 49 minutes or whatever. But Tylon, don't go anywhere. Stay right there, dear.
Sure. I'm
here. Hey, welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Well, you're going to have a topic tonight that I'm going to find especially interesting. This is Joe TV. How are you doing?
I already know who you are. Hi, Joe. All right, so let's talk. Tell me what you feel are some things that can be things that are done that can be mistaken for respect, but it's actually something that the other partner expects from the person trying to do the giving. Go ahead.
People, when they don't appreciate another person's time, in other words, that person is always late. Now, some people have told me what you can do if you know that your chick is always going to be late by 15, 20 minutes, instead of telling her that it's 10 o'clock to show up for the movies or for the concert or to be at the restaurant on time, is just tell her it's 9:45 and they'll take care of it. And I say, well, yeah, I mean, if that's all it takes. But if the person's a chronic person who never shows up on time, then somehow, some way, just like in the example you gave about the keys, that person's always losing her keys, then you can find somebody, woman or man, who's always going to be late no matter what. And I say, and I like the part that you had said about enabling.
Right.
Yeah. You are supposed to be the backup, the support for your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But if he or she is depending upon you to rectify what she or he should be rectifying, then you've got to say, you know, babe, I love you, but, you know, these are the kind of things you got to take care of yourself. So that example about taking the keys, putting them in the shoes, or putting them in a cup. And I'm thinking, when you're giving this example, how does anybody lose their keys all that often? You come inside the house? Yeah, as far as I know, everybody takes their keys and they put them on top of the favorite place, on top of the drawer, or on top of the entertainment center. And that's where they are. So if you're losing your own keys inside your own house, you're playing a game with yourself and your partner, because you're always trying to find out if that partner's going to be there for you about this particular incident. So the enabling part, no, you can't enable, because your partner will always continue to do something which is inappropriate or annoying, and you got to stop it. So my example is about showing up on time. I have I'm a man of, I don't have a lot of patience. It's four strikes, you're out. Three strikes is enough. But we talk, communicate, and I like to talk about communication for a second. People say communication is important, and it is. But the underlying tone of that, the implication of that, is that people believe that if you communicate hard enough and long enough, the problem is going to get solved. No. The problem will be, have a light shined on it. That doesn't mean it will be solved. So communication is important, but if you expect, which is part of the title of your show, for the communication to resolve the problem, it's not always going to do that. So also, I'm thinking about becoming a pastor. The reason why, not because I'm religiously inclined, but because I can do so for $29 in order to have a legitimate religious exemption from the vaccine. And if I do become a pastor, I think I'm going to marry you and the first caller, because you two seem very compatible.
Okay, you have to get our permission for that. You hear that, Tylon? Okay,
I heard.
Okay, Joe, I just want to address a couple of things that you said, because everything else that you said, I agree with you. Like, you know, communication in a relationship, common courtesy is also important in a relationship. You don't take for granted that, you know, it's my wife or it's my husband, so I'm going to be late and he knows I'm always late. That's not what you do. But however, you said something, and I need you to be very clear on it. A lot of times people can lose their keys that often because their situation is hectic when they come home. So, like, I'm a single mom, so I could tell you right now, as smart as I am, there's plenty of, I lose my cell phone all the time. And sometimes I don't really lose it. It's sitting right in my face. But it's just that when you walk in and you're going, hey, put that down. What did you do? No, go over there. Did you do your homework? And people are walking in, mommy, mommy, mommy. You know, sometimes you can't remember, hey, yeah, I did just put it down on the red shelf next to the door. But here's the situation. If communication goes as far as, if there's a problem, like you said, shining a light on it. But with communication, action has to follow. So the deal is, if I'm going to tell my husband, yes, honey, I got your keys. Yes, I know that you're tired, so I'll take out the trash today. You can start to see if that person's like, well, hey, if I walk in and I say that I'm tired, she loves me enough to say, baby, go lay down and I'll take care of it. If you start to see that becomes something that they're doing, because when they walk in, yes, you're tired, but you could have easily just grabbed it right at the door and just put it down 2 inches in the front curb, you know, but that person decided to come all the way in and tell you they're tired and knew you're going to do exactly what they expected you to do, then you know it's a game. But there are some people who know, it's like a person who can't get calculus. No matter how hard they're studying, no matter how many tutorials they have, no matter how many times they saw it happen, they still can't get it. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about the ones that are seeing it and are comfortable with it, are benefiting from somebody else taking on their portion of it, not being complained to or told about it, and then turn around and will tell that person who's doing it out of the goodness of their heart and love for them that the reason why something that they have been doing for years didn't go right is because that person didn't go out their way and do that extra job for them. And I'll give you an example of that. Okay? I think I brought up the fact that there's, I have a kid with a problem of getting up, you know, when the alarm goes off. Well, I knew a couple that this happened to. Okay? The husband was, works at an airport job. Okay? I don't remember if he was a, if he was the pilot or a flight attendant, but something that, you know, is long, long hours and it's untraditional hours. Anyway, he knew that he just got off of one shift, but he had a turnover, which means he only had enough time to come home, get in about a two-hour, three-hour nap, got take a shower, and run right back. Okay? Now, his fiance comes in and she's like, oh my God, they have him running all these flights and doing all these things and it's crazy. So when he comes in, she has his meal ready for him. She makes sure that, you know, all his things are put right where he can find them in case he's running out. And he didn't put his things where she set up for him, lost his badge or some flyer thing that he needs to go that he can't get in without it. And because normally she sees it on the floor or something like that, she picks it up. She'll tell him about it. Come on, guy, you left your stuff on the floor again. I put it up for you, but you know this is important. You can't do that. Yeah, you're right. Thanks. I don't know what I'll do without you. Problem is that he woke up that day. Well, why didn't you find my bag for me? Now I'm running late. I can get fired. Do you understand that? How is you being irresponsible with something you know is mandatory and you need for your job as part of your uniform, her fault because she didn't have the time to leave your son to come to you and do a grown man's job. Right. When it comes down to something that you're doing to make your relationship work, to fill in, you know, to try to be that, that compliment to this person, and they're taking it as, but you've been doing all this time, you should be doing it. Oh, and because, you know, I put my feet up through this whole journey, and, you know, now you're going to make me, you're going to tell me to get my feet off the table? And that's where the person doing it has to understand that it's more than just talking. It's about, I'm doing it, but here's the limit. Here's the boundary. I don't mind doing anything I have to do to keep us focused and keep us balanced, but as I said, you have to pick up and do your point. I get it. You're rushing in the morning. So in the morning, just I'll do you the solid of keeping it right where you can find it or keeping it at the door so you can just grab it all on your way out. But you have to come in when you have the time and you're not rushing and do something about it. Because my right. time is valuable too. And go ahead, Taiwan.
Yeah, what I see at, I mean, I like to get to the root of things. Like, usually when it gets, there are other underlining issues, right? Like, maybe the frequency of something happening, and now it gets annoying, you know? But you have to remember, as it, when you're in a relationship, you have a coalition. You know, you basically kind of have to, you know, fill in. Like, let's say typically I don't do the cooking, but you know that someone's doing something. You can observe that somebody is busy. They don't always necessarily tell you, hey, I'm doing this. You observe, okay, she's in college, she has a test, and, you know, she's really hunkered down. Let me go ahead in the kitchen since I got free time, and let me bust out a meal, right? So it's about the approach towards looking at yourselves as a real coalition, meaning that it's us against the world, not us against each other. And so it's sometimes you can have that relationship where it's unspoken, where you just see, just by observing and being in this space that, you know, this person has been coughing, maybe she sounds like she's under the weather. Hey, let me make dinner. You know, I know you wanted to do this special thing. I'll make it, and then maybe you're feeling it. Or I'll go to the store. See, it's more of a cooperation when you have a coalition as opposed to this regimented military style. This is your job, and under no circumstances I'll do your job. You do your job, and that's it. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely not. That's not the approach to take either.
No, I mean, I was exaggerating to make a point, but the point is having a more holistic kind of understanding of human frailty. Sometimes, you know, things to, you know, happen and occur that are incidental to the productivity of the family and the relationship. And so people have to just constantly step in, wherever the help is needed. Now, if someone's taking advantage, that's another issue. You sit and say, hey, look, I feel like you're taking advantage. I'm doing the dishes too much, or I feel like I'm doing this too often, and you're just did it. And that's another conversation. And somebody might say, okay, yeah, I'm probably in second, you know. But these things could really be resolved through, you know, open, once again, honest communications. But sometimes when it gets to that point where a person is really feeling tight, you know, you got to have a real sit down and say, what is really going on here? And sometimes, you know, a lot of us often, we have those tools to be passive aggressive because we've seen that in our family. And particularly in Black families, there's a lot of dysfunction. There's not really a lot of help and tools in terms of how to have open and real, you know, communications. So we've seen our parents be passive aggressive. Or we've seen other partners, our brothers and sisters' relationships where they're not mm-hmm. open and forthright. And so we pick up these habits that are really harmful to the family and harmful to community. Because I believe we don't have a community. I think we have places where Black people live, but we don't have Black communities. Because communities mean you control. We don't control anything because we don't have healthy relationships. And because all of us, as I think oh, my goodness, what's the guy? He made this famous quote that if, you know, you have Black people who are not enraged, you have Black people who are in deep need of psychological help. He's the writer. I can't remember his name, but the sentiment, the idea is the same, that, you know, mental health, and I'm so glad that it's becoming more normalized in our community because throughout, you know, our history just here in this country, not our whole history because we weren't always enslaved or trafficked in this country. But our history here, we have a lot of, we pick up a lot of very, very bad habits, bad attitudes. And, you know, we're trying desperately to find each other and love each other. And without sometimes the assistance of people who are knowledgeable can help us to navigate these relationships and perhaps what we're really feeling. Whether we're vulnerable or we're feeling, you know, not even well, or we just sometimes feel like we just need a break from it all, you know, rapid fire. I mean, you know, with, you know, the rent situation, the, you know, what's happening mm-hmm. with the children in school and all that. And it's difficult for us to say we want a break because we feel like we don't deserve it sometimes. Or sometimes we feel like, you know, we don't want to, you know, seem weak for men. I got this.
Most definitely. You know, my stance, and I think Joe, I muted your mic because there's a little feedback coming this way from it. I'm going to unmute you in a sec. There is definitely a big part of society, you know, given that stupid real men scale, you know, to men that have them all messed up in their respect, you know. You said something earlier that definitely is a critical factor in understanding respect versus expect. And this is the thing that you said. You said it doesn't take somebody to have to tell you if you're in a real coalition. And that is right there in itself is a key. Now, there are people that just don't know how to observe if they're not told and they'll follow. You know, there are good people that really love their relationship but don't know how to do their part, you know, spontaneously and need a little guidance or lead the other person and tell them, I need this, you know.
Well,
one second, I'm sorry. Because what I was going to say is what you said is key. Sometimes look over and see what's going on or look at the situation and automatically think, wait a minute, she's been in the house all week or he's been in the house all week with the kids. And, you know, maybe this one time, you know, let her sleep it out. If you see that person is nodding off after just doing the dishes and cleaning up the kitchen and, you know, now there's something on the stove that they've defrosted to cook. Like you said, yeah, take up. Maybe you're not a good cook. Maybe you're not a five-star whatever. But you know what? You don't got to do it their way. You do it your way because that task was done. And it shows by your actions that, hey, we're in this together. And I do appreciate what you do to this point.
Right.
And you are my other half.
Right.
You're my person, you know, not you're my fallback pillow, you know what I mean? But you are my other half. You are the, we keep each other up. Go ahead, Ty, I wasn't trying to interrupt.
No, I just know you said you said it better, actually. But I think often, I think there has to be an acknowledgement that, you know, we are, I would say, unskilled. I think that's the best way to say it, and unpracticed in the space of revealing vulnerabilities. And that's male and female. That's not, you know, gender specific. I think people in general have this tendency. I see women do it all the time. I'm the mother. If I don't do it, I'm the backbone and all this other
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People have to understand that, you know, we all get tired, you know, and we all don't sometimes have the best food and the best air and the best music and things that are around us that actually nurtures us and help us to live. We don't always practice consideration. You know, when people are doing things, we're not always forward thinking. So we always need to have the support and this mindset, just the mindset of we're in this together and we love each other. And that has to be the dominant factor in all that you do. Other than that, you know, you're going to find yourself arguing over the toothpaste, but it's not really about that. It's that, you know, you don't see each other anymore, you know, and
That's
the argument's just peripheral.
And I want to put some accountability on the person that's giving and not speaking. You understand? Because I'll give you an example. I had a parent-teacher conference with my kids' teacher, and apparently, now you know, some of these teachers they like to pause for dramatic effect and add in some fillers for Hollywood for the sake of the entertainment purpose. In other words, now. This is my situation. The kids have been in school not even 90 days yet, right? So you're telling me that according to you, my children haven't submitted work for 6 weeks. And I'm just hearing about it in a 6-week parent-teacher conference. Now, mind you, this is a new teacher who doesn't know how I operate as a parent or that I was on the school leadership team or whatever, and I know how it works. So one of the things that happened was the 3 days after the children began school for the first time, the school was exposed to COVID. So that particular teacher that my children were exposed to, they were part of the people that had to go home and quarantine. So they were told, as long as you do the online assignments, you will be considered president and you know, you know that won't be an absence for you. Well, what happened was they are vaccinated. So they were told, oh, well, you can come back to school. That's what you say. But the government is saying absolutely not. It's 10 days and that's it, period. You stay home. So at the same time, I was in the middle of getting a PCR result, which we hadn't received yet. So my decision as a mother was, I'm not sending you back there until I know you're not, you don't have COVID because of this irresponsible person. And, You know, when you go back is when I know everything's safe. But until then, you do your online work. And I stood there with them, making sure not only was it done, but it was submitted. Now, these teachers are overwhelmed. So instead of actually looking at every single submission that come in, they wait till they finish with whatever they currently have to do and then forget about it. And then they don't realize that the child has submitted the work. But anyway, my point to that relevant to tonight's topic was this. If you sit on your behind and you close your mouth while something's happening and you're getting angrier and angrier about it, but there are options out there to help the situation and you don't try to reach out and take them, then you have no one to blame for the situation that you're in or the rage that you're in or feeling because you never bothered to open up and say, hey, this is a problem. You don't even know if the person that's giving you the problem is really disrespecting you or if they're actually just don't know any better. You understand? So if you don't address it, you're part of the problem as well, even though you're the person doing the giving. And that's another breakdown in communication.
I mean, yeah, all roads lead to once again, the quality of communications. Like, you know, a lot of times people are angry because they're really just frustrated most of the time with themselves, because they lack the skills to, you know, articulate or see past, the particular situation that they're in. Like, how do I really resolve that? Because, you know, anger is not a strategy, right? You're just being emotional, you're angry, you're yelling. That's not really helpful. But if people become more practiced at, okay, what am I feeling when I'm feeling it? What's going to be most helpful? How do I see a positive outcome, you know, and what roads or what path do I have to take to get the outcome? And some people are unclear, and that's their frustrating. So they're angry, really. They want you to come up with something because they don't have any answers, and they're enraged because they feel vulnerable. And this is, like I said, this is not gender specific. Women feel very vulnerable and sometimes unwilling to ask for help or even to say that, and so are men. I would say men are more likely, you know, in cases to not, you know, speak up and speak out in fear of, you know, being seen less than or weak. But, you know, once again, this has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with, mindset and understanding, wait a minute, this is what I'm feeling when I get angry. Uh-oh, I'm getting angry. And why am I angry? I'm feeling powerless right now. You know, why am I feeling powerless? Because I can't see a solution. I need some help and, you know, maybe my pride. I don't know what it is that gets in the way between a couple, you know, because it all depends. It can be pride. But to me, all that has to be stripped away. You have to be naked with your significant other. And I'm not just talking about physically. You know what I mean by naked. Like, you have to, have patience and look. Here's my weak points, and here's my strengths, and these are my triggers, and these are the things that, you know, can you help me with this, just so that I have a better journey, I have a better life, and I have more peace. And getting to that is very difficult because we just live in a pretentious world. And then with the whole COVID thing in school, these are just unprecedented times. People are very, very afraid. The government is very confusing. The school system, in my opinion, is trash. It's like a huge babysitting facility, and no one really knows what to do, and everyone's trying to act and pretend, once again, that pretentiousness, that everything's under control. It's really not. So how do you navigate children with that? How do you navigate this? So it's just to be kind of like aware of, wait a minute, these are really unprecedented times. These people, for the most part, don't really have my best interests at heart. And so now you're going office where you don't have an expectation. Usually people are angry because they expect the system to really work for them and not really understand that this system was never designed to empower Black people, period. And, you know, so when you go in, so I find myself less frustrated because I understand the history of the system, and I understand what people's agenda is right now, and it's to cover themselves, right? Everybody's afraid of getting sued. We have, like, Sioux City. And everybody's afraid. Everyone's passing the buck. So if I want a certain outcome, usually, typically, you have to figure that out. And you got to keep in mind that those are your children. Not that you own them like slaves, but you know, you're responsible for them. And giving them the tools, which is mostly information, to navigate the system that usually holds them in contempt.
Right. And we're definitely going to be exploring that aspect, the children aspect, on Friday. I'm looking, and everybody else who doesn't know how to come in, you got to dial the number. You can't log in by stream. You can't join the live discussion by stream. You can only listen in. So if you want to call, it's 347-327-9967, and you got to press 1 so I know that you want to talk. Now, we have a little less than an hour left over here, and I've actually got some requests from people who wanted to hear the song again. So maybe after the next commercial or as I'm logging out tonight, you can hear it again, and I will let you know what we can do. So Tylon, getting back to this, one of the things that I can give as an example too is when one person is trying to solve the problems for everyone in the house, meaning, all right, you're upset because you didn't get a job on this, or you can't find a job, but yet you're being picky about the jobs that are offered. Now, one of the things I've noticed, men, COVID and the shutdown of jobs and things that affect really had a big toll on those, how can I put this, quote unquote macho men. You know, they can't do anything. They're at home. They whatever they could do that's not considered essential wasn't relevant enough to stay open. But at the same token, they have that false pride where they don't want to go out and do certain types of jobs. Then it turns out it's not actually false pride. It's them having fear of contracting COVID if they take the jobs. But instead of being able to communicate like a regular person and say, the truth is, I know we need the money. I know I want to work, but I don't know what I would do if I came back with this horrible disease and I hurt my family, or I don't want to die. And let me tell you something. There could be nobody on this earth that got any sense or any heart that could actually blame a person for not wanting to be around an area or being a person, especially when the experts didn't even know about this thing, to shame a person for being afraid to go out there and be exposed to it. But the problem is, you're not saying that. You're like you said, I'm a man. I don't need to worry about that. That's not good enough for me. I work and make $25 an hour. Well, when the economy is in such a mess because something like this is planning to wipe them out, they're not going to be thinking so much about $25 an hour or about opening up certain things. But this anger then trickles down and everybody else is to blame for what they're dealing with. And then they're looking to the person, which is the person that's been making sure they're straight, to be the big problem solver. Now, whatever that super stuff you do, babe, when you make sure my clothes are together and I'm always out the door and you're always ready and you've got five kids that you're raising, but yet there's a hot meal on the table and the house is clean and the kids are cool and I don't really know how you do it, but you're doing it. Why couldn't you do that for me? Because when you've been out in the working world all this time and the other person's been taking care of everything else, they've had nothing to do but go out, work, come back home, bring money, and there was nothing else to try to do. Not because that person was stopping them, but because, well, if you could do all this, then how do I measure up? I knew a couple that got pissed off because the mother, I guess, for all intents and purposes, was called Supermom. And that meant that the father was just going to be less than whatever. But you're forgetting, there are two people involved in a relationship. There are two parents in a kid's life. There's two people in a relationship. There's a woman and her unique talents. That's an individual who's bringing that to a team where there's a man who's an individual and has his unique way and unique talents to approach the same situation. If both of you came in doing the same thing, it's a competition. It's not a union. There's a reason why a child needs both a man and a woman in their lives, because there are things that a woman can do that can tell a man something even though she can't be a man for him, and there's everything a man can do for his son. But at the same token, that good example of a man is his daughter's first example. So neither one of you can eliminate the other one because both of you have unique things that was assigned to you and you can't do that other person's job. So it doesn't matter how well she was being super mommy. Your damn job is to be daddy. Or your job is to be the husband. And both of you have to open your mouth. And both of you need to understand that even if one person is picking up the slack because for the sake of loving the family and being, hey, we said for better or for worse. We said, in sickness and in health. If you're down right now, babe, that means I have to compliment you. I have to fill in. And usually people who are the total opposite actually make better couples to a big point because, hey, I'm a lousy saver, but he's great with saving money. Hey, I'm really haphazard when it comes down to sitting down and writing out all these bills, but he's a great record taker. I'm the creative one. I don't mind, you know, getting a no and rejection while I'm trying to start a business, but he's the practical one. He needs to see the paycheck week to week. And somewhere in the middle, I can respect what he does because I know I can never do what he does. And I can respect what she's doing because I know I can never do that. And at the end of the day, we both take those things that each of us are good at and bring it to the table for the whole thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I hear what you're saying. I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I absolutely agree wholeheartedly with all that you've said, but allow me to add this too, this caveat.
Absolutely.
Is that our relationships, and when I speak our, I'm unapologetically Black, and I have to speak.
Back at you.
And so I just want to say that, you know, we also have to be very mindful that our relationships since time immemorial have been under attack. I think that there are real forces, you know, through media, including social media and all that, that does real psychological harm to the fabric of men and women's relationship. You know, women are no longer comfortable, you know, submitting or being in their feminine. Men are no longer, you know, happy and pleased and trying to seek relationships in other places. The promotion of alternative lifestyles as the norm. It's another thing, and I can, you know, go on all day with that. But I think if we try to love each other and build the coalition that I was talking about, the man and the woman, we can't do it absent the idea that, you know, there are, you know, very real forces that are incessant and insidious at times that try to work to see that, you know, that we don't come together, you know. The messages that you see on TV where the family, they got everything and nobody has a job, you know,
right.
They don't show people paying bills, you know, they don't show this. All the problems are solved in a neat, you know, half hour or, you know, whatever the program's an hour, everything is resolved. And life is not like that. And then, you know, you have young people growing up in the world where they don't see struggle. They don't understand, you know, that, you know, you have people out there who, you know, pretend to like you, that you'll have people in your circle but not in your corner. And knowing the difference can mean life or death, you know. So all of these life skills and all of this, you know, I guess information are important tools and essential for people having successful relationships so that they can have successful families. Because if men and women aren't getting along, you're going to have more dysfunction and, you know, we move further and further away from community.
Absolutely. And see, now here's the other thing that I think that he dropped out. Okay, Tyler, I think your signal dropped, Pop. Get back in. But, you know, if you're listening in, one of the things that has to be brought to attention, because our kids are getting into it, let's start looking at the signs of a person that's not really in I see you. I'm bringing you back in. Okay, Ty, are you back?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
I was just disconnected. Okay.
Yeah, it was probably
I was finished with my point. I think, you know, we have to try to love each other. But at the same time as loving each other and trying to improve communication, we have to understand that our relationships are under attack.
Yes.
The men and women are being, like, before our very eyes, manipulated and pulled apart. And people are coming into relationships not even understanding their respective role, which requires more and more authentic conversation. Like, is there an expectation for me to, for example, you know, have a job and do the dishes? You know, what do you see as a helper? What are your aims and goals? You know, and these are conversations that, you know, like I said, a lot of us are untrained in having. You know, it's about, you know, feelings and just feeling good and, oh, he's cute or she's cute or she's sexy or she got a big butt. things like that as opposed to, you know, how do you see the world? You know, how are we going to raise these children? You know, and how if we have a blended family, how does it actually work? And you need information and tools. And information is that tool, is a critical tool in being successful with understanding that there's going to be a constant assault on the fabric of family and what that means.
Right. And I think my issue with today, what I was trying to make sure that happens, is that we start educating our men, women, and our children, because children are so desperately seeking, they have a need now to be hooked up to somebody as early as 13 and 14. So whatever the lack of whatever void is being filled, I mean, it's being left by these diminishing villages, if you know what I'm saying. These kids are trying to find somebody or something to say they're a part of. Now, I'm figuring if we can start putting some big examples out, even on this podcast alone, where we could start telling our girls and our guys as well, because some of these girls are getting highly ratchet themselves. You know, they're all the horror that, you know, used to protect our daughters from back in the oppressed days. But if they're in a relationship now, even with friendships, which we'll be speaking about tomorrow, but where you're the one that has to do all the changing, or you're the one that has to do all the pleasing, or you're the one that has got to do all the thinking, because even though that person can, if you wait around for them to pick up their part of the responsibility, everything else that is dependent on his part or her part is going to fall apart. So they expect for that other person to go, oh my God, if you don't do this by 5 o'clock, then everything's going to go down. Oh my God, just forget it. I'm going to do it. You know, they count on that. I started picking up a little trick that my children were doing whenever, you know, they would try to take their time and doing their chores. And the closer it got to a deadline or something, like, for example, time for me to come in and I'll do like a Saturday showcase or whatever, I started realizing that one of them thought they were slicker than me and pretty much was like, well, if I don't do it long enough, mom's going to scream and yell and she'll show me. If I pretend I don't know what I'm doing, she'll show it to me. And while she's showing it to me, the chore is actually getting done.
Okay. Got you. Kids are wonderful at hacking systems and come up with ideas. They're just so inventive. Our young people are so smart.
But it's not just kids doing it anymore. It's some of these one-sided adults as well. And that's the whole thing.
Well, that's where the kids are learning it from. Kids are listening less to of what we're saying. They're watching us.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they're really learning. They're learning from our behavior. And I know men and women, that do the same kind of things or play the same kinds of games. And kids lend into that. And they seek these opportunities where they could take advantage and possibly exploit potential conflicts between a man and a woman or, you know, in their relationship. So it's very important for people to have, like I said, these kinds of conversations, you know, even before they present, you know, with the kids. Or family, or in-laws, and stuff like that, and say, where are we? Because we want to make sure that we don't send mixed signals, because that could be very dangerous for young people who don't have the analytical and critical thinking skills to really examine what's really going on in your relationship with your significant other. So I just think, looking at the totality of where we are in terms of family building, and to me that's like wealth building and community building, right? Because to me it's all rooted in this family, this concept of, you know, where do we belong and how do we actually build together? Somebody can do 100% of something, or someone is at least set up to do 100% of something. Whether I'm doing 100% of the work, or starting a business or whatever the case might be. But I mean, it's very important that you have the information as well to be
right.
Able to down to handle the family business. Because, I think, you know, each one must teach one, or each one must teach 10, as bad as things are going right now. But it's about empowering each other with the information that is that's crucial to, you know, once again, us being, you know, successful at our relationship. And then from there, you know, building communities and sharing that information. That's why your show is so important today. Your show is it. I mean, talking about really the heart of everything else. All things are possible, whether you want to have control of the police who picks up your garbage, you know, you want to have more, you know, economic empowerment, you want land, you want this. If you and your significant other get it right, really, really right, you can move mountains. You can move mountains.
Well, with you bringing that up, there's something important I wanted to bring up as well, because this is something that I've actually been witnessing as like a staple problem, and not just like adults, but like parents, friends, but mainly we're speaking on the romantic aspects of relationships tonight. Kids as well, like, you know, young people in relationships. I'm talking about the ones that are young but are allowed to be like high schoolers. Let me tell you, this is something that I've noticed, and it bothers me to the point, because as an adult person, I went through it. I went through this as an adult partner in an adult relationship. So to see that a lot more kids are actually getting into this, and I'm not even talking about they're in it. I mean, they're actually dating people who are already showing this, and they are misinterpreting it as love that they need to strive harder for. Now, here's one thing. Let's say there's somebody who's down on their luck, and you don't have much, but you have enough to offer them some things. Like, for example, let's say, Tylan, you know, you starting GoPro Radio. Let's say you're just starting out, and you've got pretty much most of the foundations ready to go, the moving parts, so you can get started and you could do a rough pilot show or whatever. Now, you have a friend that you know, or you've met someone that you know that is interested in another aspect of your type of business, but was all his life, people did something to make it not happen for him. And like legitimately out of his control, you know? And let's say now, you know, he needs a laptop device because it's an online show. So, you know, obviously you need a laptop and you need a Wi-Fi connection. So you, a person who's pretty much starting on your feet as well, but you're ahead enough to say, well, I could show you how to get started. And you know what? I think I have a couple of extra equipment things running around here that I can donate to you, because now I have, you know, some more upgraded material. So I can do this. And then you do everything in your power to start that person. Right? Mm-hmm. You even give them the ins and outs of how you got started. You know, you tell them, listen, my exact plan to the way I did it may not be customized for you, but here's a good basic blueprint that you can start with, you know? So so you give this person equipment. You give this person even a let's say, you know, hey, man, I opened up GoPro Radio and I'm only in my first week, but you know what? The platform I'm using, they allow me 3 hours. So check it out. I usually only do a 2-hour show. I can give you the third hour for you to get started with, you know, just can you see what, see what's up. And you did all this. Mm-hmm. And then you even help that person out to the point where you gave them a checklist of how to be on the air pretty much. Okay, mm-hmm. And so you go, all right, this is what you do. And then from there, you let them be their own person. You gave them the blueprint. You gave them the structure to start with. So guess what? Now, you know at least how to get your feet wet. You know how to start the running. Now, you see this person has been on, you know, got this open free stuff, something that if they were doing it on their own, they would have to pay for it. They would need to be discovered, you know, something like that. And here you are remembering the struggle. So you try to give them some of your insight, you know, your blessing. Here we go. Then you see that person. Let's say that you gave them your hour, from 8 to 11. You gave them the 10 to 11 slot so that they can get prepared. They can breathe in, breathe out, and be ready. But then at 9:45, they don't have a segment book, notebook in front of them. They haven't written anything out. They haven't researched, but they're about to go on the air under your name, under your brand, in your studio. And so you're sitting up there and you're going, well, come on, man. You don't do it like this. You even stay there on that first day and you say to them, hey, you know, do it like this. I'll help you out. Don't worry, man. You know, I remember when I first got on the air, calling in and having a discussion podcast. Not everybody remembers right away to log on, so sometimes you're on the air by yourself for a little while till people start calling in. If you're sitting there, you're even going to this person and you're going, hey, I'll be your first caller. That way, you know, I'll give you some time to get comfortable and the knots out your stomach. But every time that it's time for this person to do it for themselves, they're not doing it. I am trying to say that because what I've noticed to be a big problem, a common thing that's happening right now, is a lot of people either going into the relationship, dating someone that they're about to try to get serious with, or people who are actually already in an unbalanced relationship for many years feel that it's their job to try to live this person's dream for them. You can only take a thirsty horse to the water. You can't put their head in the lake and make them drink. And that is a big problem that winds up taking that other person's essence away from them because they're trying to incorporate somebody else into their space in their life. And that can't happen because then it starts to become a dependency.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, there are signs that, you know, you could see. You know, and I think for an untrained mind or somebody who's maybe perhaps not experienced in certain spaces, they can't see when someone is perhaps, you know, leaning on them a little bit too much. But, you know, what's real and prevalent in our community is dread and depression. And so, you know, talking to someone about how to, you know, operate and run a studio and all that, sometimes people aren't really present or they're not ready. So you can have a criteria that's set up if you're mentoring someone in the business to actually see if and when they are ready and prepared. Because if people are having real issues like, you know, living insecurities or housing insecurities and all sorts of, it's very difficult to talk to that person about owning and operating a business when they're sleeping on the floor with their mom at their cousin's house and the little niece just peed on them because she's also in the bed and it's cramped. And, you know, mm-hmm. We have a lot of underlying issues that, you know, when you're dealing with a person, we have to move away from the model of the one size fit all. And we have to be present to hear what people are saying to us and then do an assessment as to their readiness to receive mentorship or in a certain kind of way. I know a lot of my mentorship, I'm doing a lot of listening. I do a whole lot less talking than I do on the show. And people say, well, right. You know, how did you prepare the years? Because it's really about hearing. That's why you have two ears and one mouth. You have to listen twice as much as you speak to people so that you can find out from them where they're at. And sometimes people just aren't ready. It's not that they wouldn't make a great filmmaker, a great, you know, radio personality, an engineer, a tech of that. It's just that people, you know, are, especially our people, like I said, I focus on that, are dealing with a lot and are functionally depressed in a lot
right.
of, you know, they're moving around and they're smiling and they're acting because they're pretending to be okay and they're not. You just look at the suicide rates with young people in the Black community. It's alarming, it's staggering. It's like a scandal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Why are we talking about this? You know, why are we talking about all the wrong things who got squashed at a party when it's more people dying by, you know, suicide in our community and why that is happening, why we're seeing this increase? And it's because they're not being heard. Social media is another problem where it just sucks the joy out of so many people's lives when they're trying to compare themselves to people who are just putting their best foot forward on the internet. So there's a lot of things that are competing for the space of the hearts and minds of our young people. So, you know, having someone come in and not even able to see that this is a real opportunity if they were to be mentored by myself or someone here at I Am Metropolis or the GoPro Radio Network, really mm-hmm. requires, I think, a rigorous approach towards listening first and picking up certain cues and saying, perhaps there are other issues that need to be dealt with before you're ready to kind of come in and operate this kind of stuff where, you know, you don't have car fear. And I've dealt with people, like I'm talking about real people, real situations, who they came out on their own. And it almost brought me to tears. It's like I was in Jersey City at that time, and this person had to take the New York City train to the PATH train, paid two fare, and they didn't have money to get back home, and was trying to figure out a way to ask me for $1.25 at that time for the PATH train to get back. And I was blown away by it. I was like, wow, this was so important for them to come out. Young person didn't have enough money, but they wanted to. And you have to be able to be in a space where they know that you are holistically there, you're present, you're listening, and that you're, you know, ready to help. I've been fortunate to have great mentors in my life. Melvin Van Peebles, the one who just recently passed away, the actor who and filmmaker and songwriter, playwright, just a phenomenal human being. He had to be very patient with me, you know. So that's why I extend a lot of patience, in particular with our people. Because people were patient with me.
Absolutely. And there's a caller coming in. Just give me one more minute, caller, and I'll bring you right in. One of the things that you touched on, all those examples that you just brought up, you're absolutely right. I think that the main issue is, especially with people who haven't started real relationships yet, is to get them to understand this respect versus expect thing. That needs to appeal to the person themselves first, because before you can be a proper team member, you first have to be an established individual. If you don't respect yourself, if you don't expect the best of yourself, if you don't love yourself, you cannot be good for anyone else. And I have no problem consistently helping out somebody who's down in their luck if I can see that they're constantly trying to help themselves. You know why? I've been in that position. My children and I have been homeless 3 times, and people came and helped us out. And now to the point where we had nothing on our backs at some point. Do you know what? Just the other day, I was able to gather old stuff. And you know who started it? My 16-year-old daughter. She had a bunch of clothes in her closet where it made me see, thank God, that the person I am as a mom to them rubbed off on them. Because she held on to these clothes since she was 15 years old. And I never got to get them to the Salvation Army. And then the pandemic happened, so we couldn't do anything. And she still had enough clothes for me to go and create my own clothing drive in a Brooklyn park that I, after posting on a Facebook group to let people know. So many people in shelters didn't have it. And here was my daughter's brand name, you know, don't fit me anymore. She held them to give away because she refused to throw them out. And that's one. And yet there's people around her that's like, well, how you did that? And instead of wanting to learn how they did it, they're like, well, do that for me. Do that for you. I'll show you how to get there for yourself, but I can't do it for you. No matter how many things I get, I give this example, and then I'm going to bring in our caller. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, this man so damn big in his realm that all you had to do was say Michael, and nobody thought Jordan first. They thought Michael Jackson. Okay? That all he had to do was do some stupid move, like lift his little finger up in the air with his glove on, and millions of people are crying and fainting at his feet. And yet, with all that praise and all that worship and all that love and popularity, he didn't love himself, and look where his face wind up going, and look what happened, all that unhappiness that nobody can get rid of but him. And this is what the example I use to my children all the time and to kids I see all the time. You really think that something on the outside is going to fill a void that only you can fill. There are a lot of kids out there with demons that they don't want to address. So when someone comes along and tells them, I love you anyway, I got your back anyway, they don't know how to cherish that for themselves. So they take advantage of the person that's doing the giving. And that's where it becomes unbalanced. And that's what our job is, to show them before you can get into this, or while you're in this, you can get out of it, or this can change. And it may not be able to change the way it needs to. So you may need to say, it's time to say goodbye to this particular chapter. I have to bring this caller in because our time's winding down. Don't go anywhere, Ty, and thank you so much for coming back, man. I love it. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. It's Terry. How are you doing?
Hi. You're booming just a little bit. I don't know if it's your voice or your great equipment.
Yeah, I think it's both. Okay, I toned it down, turned it
down.
Yeah,
now you're great. Now you're great.
Oh,
now
good.
You're great.
Well, good evening.
Okay.
But first of all, I love you for the shout out. I did not expect anything about being a listener of this segment and all that. Thank you.
You
I'm
are
blessed.
So welcome.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So let me. I like to just listen to most of the show before I chime in, because I'll take the whole show over. So I just want to wait until it's about halfway done. But let me just add to what you said about your subject tonight: respect and expect. For me, the way I see it, having been in relationships, and most of us, you know, didn't go to college and become some relationship guru expert. We learn through trial and error. You know,
there
we learn through being in relationships, you know, whether they failed or whether they were successful. We learn by looking at other people in failed or successful relationships. So for me, I see the number one thing in terms of what you expect and being unrealistic starts with respect. So respect is the number one entity. If you come in the relationship respecting that person right off the bat, you're not going to really then expect all of these unrealistic expectations. But if you come in that relationship and somehow you're feeling that I want to kind of take advantage of this person's love for me, well, then that lack of respect is going to cause these unrealistic expectations. So to
Absolutely.
Me, respect is what leads to realistic expects. And also when you talked about love, and we're talking about romantic and intimate relationships. Well, if you have sincere love, I'm talking about that comes from God, not because they got a nice car, a nice house, or money, or a look, but sincere love, it comes from your soul. Well, then you're going to work your tail off to be fair to that other person, you know, in that relationship. So then when it comes down to your key situation where you mentioned the judge and Lynn Toler and lost keys and things, lost keys don't become an issue for argument, because your love is going to work on both sides. So let's say it's me. I'm Lynn Toler. I'm forgetful. I'm always forgetting my keys. Then I say to my wife, baby, listen, you know I don't know what's going on, but for some reason I can't seem to remember my keys. Help me out. What do I need to do to remember these keys? So you see what I'm saying? I'm already involving her and helping me figure out a solution, so I don't have to keep depending on her, you know, instead of just saying, well, she loves me, and so I'm just going to let her keep on reminding me. Well, now that you're losing a bit of respect for her and you're expecting her to become your kind of your maid slash butler type person, and that's not what it should be about. So I just think that in relationships where some of them go wrong, is you get used to what that person does for you, and you start to think that it's now something that's supposed to continuously happen, when the fact is we both are supposed to be giving and taking on both ends and just reminding each other of how we can be strong in whatever area that we're weak in, not saying I'm going to now just constantly rely on you to be the person that lifts me up in this area where I'm failing. No, it's up to me to try to get stronger in that area, and I'm going to ask my spouse for help. Last thing is, you mentioned Michael Jackson, and you mentioned about the fact that, you know, he changed his face and everything. Well, that's because no matter how talented Mike was, and that gift certainly was given to him by his creator, in his own flesh, Michael Jackson didn't respect himself. Because what happens when he looked at his chocolate face and he looked at his African-American face, he felt, my nose is not right. Your nose, really? You're going to change the look that the Lord gave you because you feel your nose is not the right size. And then on top of that, now you're mixing and mingling with other races and other groups of people, and now you're getting away from your race and what its strengths are, and now you want to kind of look like the other races look. So that came from a lack of respect. Again, this is my opinion. This is what I'm always going to feel about it. I know he's resting wherever he happens to be, whatever realm, but when he was in this realm, all of that talent, the man changed his look and really didn't have to. He was a respectful-looking, good-looking guy, period.
Oh, yes.
He didn't need to do that. But that shows you, again, if I don't have respect for how I look, then I'm going to see how other people look. I'm going to see who says that look is what I'm supposed to look like, and then I'm going to try to look like that. And that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, you know, that is definitely, like, this man had everything. And look at, I've been looking at a lot of these stars that have been messing around a little too much with cosmetic surgery simply because they can. And they are awful looking when they were really great looking at one point. And it's not even to the point of vanity look so much as they look unhealthy. And it's not so great.
Again, think about it. What you came into this earth with is what you're supposed to work with. Okay. And so when it comes down to changing things, like, I don't like the size of my backside, so I'm going to try to get a bigger backside, and I don't like the size of my nose, my ears, whatever parts you're changing, you really have to ask yourself within your spirit, why am I changing this? And if it's because you have an inferior attitude about that particular body part, then you've got to look at yourself and say, do I really love myself enough? Because I'll give you an example. I remember back in the 70s, in the kind of the early part of the 80s, for whatever reason, light skin was in. Every light skin dude that looked like Al B. Sure, he was the stuff, right? So us dark skinned brothers, you know, as Wesley Snipes looking brothers, we weren't getting no love, you know. But for me, I never thought one time at all, okay, I need to find something to lighten my skin. You know, it's like,
exactly.
I understood, you know, you're who you are. The gift was given to you by the Creator. So whatever the complexion is what it is. Whatever your looks are, your height, everything, it is what it is. So it starts with self-respect. You've got to love you for the way that you were created. And then that means you're not going to sit there and try to waste time. So I'm going to change something about the way I look. You know, you want to look handsome, get a haircut, get a shape up, get your hair done. Those basic things to look appealing, fine. But cutting body parts off and reshaping noses and things, I'm just really wondering what's the real issue there. And I think do I really love myself like I should? Because otherwise, why am I cutting my nose off? Like, I'm a chocolate darker skin guy. I'm not going to get any lightening treatments. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. This is the way I came into the earth. This is the skin complexion I was given. So there must be some divine reason why my Creator gave me this complexion. So I'm keeping it and I'm loving it.
And the deal that I've been seeing with a lot of these, especially the younger people, is that a lot of their validation is coming from external sources and the wrong type. You know, I try my best now to teach not just my kids, but like any kid that comes into me that, hey, wait a minute. No. If you don't like the way you look, you can change it for you. And if the people looking at you happen to enjoy what they see or benefit from it, then so be it. But the main focus of going to go do something is because that's what you want for yourself, that you'll feel better about it because you got to please you. I know I refer to Cat Williams often. The guy is vulgar as he speaks with his curse words. If you listen to his content, he's on the money. And one of the things that he always says is that you got to please your star player. And when everybody was like, who's the star player? He looked in the mirror. He said, the person you see in the mirror every day, that's your star player. Because if you walk outside and you try to help the team, but you feeling messed up, how is the team going to benefit from anything?
Well, they're not. And so, what the sad part about it is even in the relationship area, there are people who aren't satisfied with the way that they look. And so they're unhappy. And again, you now start to kind of put those off in the relationship and it sours the relationship. And the sad part about young people is there are some beautiful young men and young women out here, mm-hmm. but for some reason they've listened to what other people have said. And now they feel they're not that beautiful young person. And I'm saying to you beautiful young people, the look that you have is the look that your divine Creator gave you. Love that look. You know, you don't try to change it. You don't feel depressed and sad because you think you're not attractive. You know, when you look in the mirror, you got to love yourself. You know, you love you. And that's going to mean you're going to be a healthy adult as you continue to grow. And I just think it's very sad when, you know, young people don't love themselves because of what other people are saying. As I said, it was, you know, Blackie, that was the nickname they try to tease you. Well, you're black, you're Blackie or black boy. They think that's hurting you all the time. You ain't heard me with that. It's like, that's right. I'm African American and God gave me this beautiful dark skin. I mean, what you want me to do? So what, again, you got to love yourself. You have to love you, because then it does not matter how much people try to tease you, talk about you, no matter how much society says lighter skinned people are going to get more advantage. Okay, so be it. It doesn't matter to me, because I'm not altering my skin complexion or anything about my body parts because you say what society likes and doesn't like. You know, you have to be true to yourself, especially in relationships. You got to be true to yourself. And then you're going to pass that on to your partner and be respectful to your partner, too, so you're not putting these unfair demands on your partner, you know.
Yes. And I found the article that I was trying to reference earlier, and finally the site came up. It's on a site called Bustle.com, and the name of the article is 15 Signs That You're in an Unbalanced Relationship. The author is Carol Stieber. And she just published this a few months ago, July 7th, 2021, okay? And one of the signs that I said that really bothered me was a sign, you know, your partner needs constant reminders, okay? That's one. They don't step up. That's definitely a red flag right off the bat. You're always exhausted. That's number three. They bounce when times get tough. Now, that's true. Now, this is something that when I was talking, when I was reading it, it's not just that they run away and leave you, like leave the relationship. A lot of times, they leave, like, the home situation. For example, I've got a kid right now that his child has an illness, and he doesn't know how to handle it. So what he has done pretty much is checked out on the kid without checking out. He doesn't want to look like the bad guy, so he's checked out. And what he does is that he used something that he feels is socially appropriate and acceptable to explain his absence, which is, oh, I've been working. Oh, I've been looking into this, building a scholarship, and it's been taking a lot of my time. And at the same time, this boy has some things that need to be addressed, and he needs both his parents there. And your fear, because society tells men you're not supposed to fear, cry, hurt, be sad, get raped, none of that stuff, because you're a man. You're supposed to take it, and that's the way it goes. And meanwhile, you have this stupid result coming out, and relationships are unbalanced, and the key factor to stability and a great example is all messed up and shattered and fractured because of it. And then you've got all these shattered and fractured and fragmented people trying to hook up to make something wholesome in the union, and it's not freaking working. Number five was you have lots of stress and anxiety. If somebody is coming in your life to be your other half and your shoulder, you're not supposed to be more stressed than when you came in. You'd rather call a friend for help than your family member, your friend, or your partner. You mostly feel isolated and alone, and that's something I can absolutely attest to, because being a single mother when the father is right there at times, that says a lot. Number eight, asking for small favors from your partner, it seems to be a big deal. They're always looking for praise for the smallest task that they do. You're blamed when things wrong. That's number 10. Number 11, you try to test them by, quote, going on strike. So you try to test if they love you, if they understand it, because by saying that you're not going to do your part. Number 12, scheduling has become your part-time job. 13, they never return the favor. 14, you're tense at the end of the day. And finally, number 15, you always feel like things are unfair in the relationship. That doesn't even sound like it's something that should have started. or should have had the power to be continued. But usually by the time that you figure out if you've already been in a long-term relationship, you're at this point now where, oh God, how do I get out of it? And after all this time I put in, I really don't want to call it a failure. So now you try to, you know, like, yeah, you guys ever gone to the store and or went and reached for your loaf of bread and didn't realize you kept it in there long enough? So there's, you're starting to see some green parts and, you know, they had, somebody are looking, well, the rest of the bread isn't that bad. Let's just cut the mold parts off. The bread is moldy. There's no fixing that unless there's a recipe that specifically calls for molded bread. But you trying to cut the worm out of a bad apple and save the rest of it, sometimes the way that that mold or that rot is positioned, there is no saving it. And that's what I want to be able to teach people going in, whether it's a child or an adult. Because if you can prevent an unstable relationship from forming, maybe we could dodge some of these disasters. Now, we're down to our last 9 minutes. I did promise the listeners that wasn't able to get in on the beginning that I would replay the song that was out there. Terry, thank you for what you said about it. The kids are going to love it. Tylon, oh my God, when they hear your remarks, they're going to be all over the place, and I thank you for that. Once again, everybody, the name of this group is called Untitled. When you have Alexa, it's going to say Untitled 3D because the name is spelled with a backward E or a number 3 as an ED. And then they have several tracks that are already out, but that was the one that I think touched my heart the most and I think would appeal to more of a important message that's out now, because suicide is a big thing now with even kids very young, and it's sad. But the name of the song is called Colorless. It's featured Mimi Baby, and the name of the group is Untitled. And I will be going out with that. But before I say anything else, I'm going to allude to what you said, Terry, and reiterate that as my closing remarks tonight. You have to respect yourself so that you can eliminate unrealistic expectations by other people of you and of yourself. In order for you to be a good teammate, you must be an established, healthy, well-minded individual, because your individual talents is what comes in to combine with someone else's and become a team. Your example is the example you're going to give and the message you're going to send out to people around you that'll say, hey, I'm a patsy and or I'm not going for that. And that's what you have to do. So everybody, once again, today was a special airing time because of yesterday's absence. We will be back tomorrow with part 2, and then we'll be back on Friday with part 3. Once again, guys, head out to your most common music streaming platform, YouTube Music, Amazon, Spotify, Pandora. What else did I miss here? I think it said Amazon, Apple, iTunes, all of those music streaming has Untitled songs. Colorless is the song you heard tonight, and I pray that all of you find the message in it to be strong to you and that somebody you know can benefit from it. So with that being said, everybody, I'll see you tomorrow at 10. Be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Here is Colorless to take us out. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Keep up sin. It feels way better than writing these. best to my younger self for my next of kin. Therapy and for the weekend, it ain't cheap. So we keep taking shots of Dulce. Not hearing a word that you say. Trying to numb the pain, but I'm insane. What's up with my brain? I know I need help, and I'm trying to confront my demons on those roads to recovery, but I ain't got a seatbelt. So I'm looking to crash, but this time I'ma try to get what's mine.
Darkness, no light to shine my way out. Might as well be stuck in the coffin, cause I can never get out. No way to escape, no air to breathe. I was told that mentally, ain't finna get stuck in a strap bad. Darkness in my head, forgive me, I'm a narcissist. I make mistakes and never think I'm wrong. When the troubles come, I can't handle it. Stuck in a room full of darkness, no light to shine my way out.
I'm afraid of myself, I'm scared that these thoughts destroyed my health. I'm locked in the dark and I can't get out. I'm afraid of these demons that feed in my doubts. But I messed up, can't stand up. Waiting is the key, so I'm told I don't wanna die. Live alone, I have hurt when I'm old, can I wait? No. And right now I'm questioning if I can go on. My brain will blister, he's just a boy. But them dark thoughts took away his joy. While the devil sits and plays him like a toy. While the boy is gone, consider no no better. The devil sits and writes his letter to another kid who was also lost. He manages to get his favorite sweater. As he puts him in your place, or at least what he told you. Made you believe you were best friends to the very end, but you're not. Ooh, yeah. I need help for myself. Can anyone help me? I'm in a dark place, dark time. Can anyone save me? All these demons in my head, I feel like I can't fight.
Haunted in the shadows, in my mind, it's a battle.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.